Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. It is truly an honor and truly a gift. First of all, I want to thank you as a church for what you've done, what you do in the city, how you've partnered with other ministries in the city, the way you're blessing the city. You truly are a blessing, and specifically, even for our church is a very small church. We don't have our own facility, and so we've had a couple memorial services here, which you have been so gracious to share your space, and everyone in the office has been incredibly gracious. So you're blessing the body of Christ, and so I hope and I pray for you always. I've been praying for you before Kirk left. I'm praying for you in the interim, and now I'm praying for Rob Burke as he starts to come here in August. And so I'm excited, and I'm so grateful that that my friend Brian is here, so I can always just come and knock on the door and have a friend waiting for me, although he hasn't bought me lunch yet. So if you could be on his case. No, I'm just kidding. He also coached my youngest daughter in basketball here, which was amazing. She didn't continue in basketball, so I don't know if that has anything to do with their coaching or my parenting, but I want to invite you guys to do something with me. We have these hurried and busy lives, even as we prayed in the back before we started. And so something that we do as a church is we take our scripture and we kind of slow down, stop for a second, and just listen. And so I'm going to read our passage for a couple times, and in between, just leave some open space and listen for a word or phrase that might stand out to you that God may be inviting you to meditate on. Maybe he's invited you to something new, or just take the time to just stop and allow yourself to be present to whatever God has for you this morning. So we're in Luke 10, 1 through 11. And again, I'll read it twice, and in between, some space for you to just meditate, and then I'll close that time with prayer. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give to you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near." After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. Father, we just ask that you help us to be completely and fully aware to your indwelling presence in each and every one of our lives. Lord, may we hear your word and what you have for us this morning. Lord, as we go on in our day, may we speak your words to one another. And may we hear your words spoken to us. It's in your name. Amen. So here we have Jesus training his disciples, giving them a methodology, a way in which to be a part of his mission. And he gives them this kind of little experiment and tells them to go ahead of him and to do these things. And we'll get into that methodology in a second. But what's interesting, I want to start a little bit with their reaction, a part we didn't read. When they come back and they do these things and they're healing the sick and they're casting out demons and they're seeing the work of God alive and active, they have this reaction of just complete joy. They're excited. And Jesus says this, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. The beautiful thing about this is they see. The name of the sermon, which I don't do names of sermons anymore, so I get a text from Brian, and I'm talking to my wife, and I'm like, Brian needs a name for this sermon. What should I call it? And I said, well, what's it about? And I said, well, it's kind of, where is Jesus? Where's Jesus at? He wanted me to talk about what is happening here in the city. And so she said, the definitive answers of where to find Jesus. So I hope that makes myself sound sure of myself. And but that's what I want to talk about this morning. And here's what happens when they start to see God at work. They're filled with joy and are excited. I kind of picture the scene of them coming back and, oh my gosh, Jesus, we did this, we did that, we saw this, this happened, this happened, this happened. And he stops and he thanks God that he's revealed himself to his disciples. And then he says, you are so lucky. that you saw what you saw. You get to see what you will get to see, that you get to hear what you have heard and will continue to hear. And so this morning is really the good news. The good news that we worship a risen King. That we worship a God who is alive and active in his creation, reconciling his creation back to himself. And we often don't see this. Well, let's say we see it, but we don't recognize it. We don't recognize the depth of what's really going on, even though we pass by and see it. We see this when Jesus rises from the grave. And he comes and he appears to Mary. And Mary thinks he's a gardener. And it wasn't until she heard Jesus speak lovingly to her that she goes, "It's Jesus." Or on the road to Emmaus, they have a whole conversation. And they're like, "Who is this guy who doesn't even know who Jesus is?" And then he leaves, and then they go, "Oh my gosh, that was Jesus." Or he appears to his disciples, and he appears to Thomas. And when he touches the suffering, it wasn't then until he recognized that this was Jesus, the risen Christ. And so, I believe, because I believe Scripture tells us, and because I've witnessed it myself, that Jesus is alive and active and present in our lives and in the lives of those around us. He's a pursuing God on a mission. And the beauty of it is, the good news is that we get to be on that mission with him. Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, I send you." But we've got to be able to see. Has anyone here ever been on a short-term overseas missions? Or maybe you were an overseas missionary. A couple. When you went, was it like your eyes were open? Did you come back going, "I was more transformed than the people who I went to go transform and to serve"? And we start to think, why is God so alive and active over here, but he's not here? You know, I experienced that when I would go down to Mexico, or when I went to Nepal on a short-term trip. We see it really at most of our churches and with our pastors. Our pastors go on a short-term mission trip, and they see the work of God, and they get all excited. And so you got churches who are all excited about Africa or China or India, or because that's where they went and that's where they saw God. But he is alive and active here. It's just being able to recognize him. So how do we go from this seeing to recognizing? How do we end up waking up every morning, spending every moment of our day seeing, working alongside of Jesus? Is that what we want? I think that's why we're all here, because we want a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. We want to be a part of what he's doing. But often we get stuck, right? We come to church. We maybe are part of a small group or a midweek or some sort of ministry. Those great spiritual giants of us read our Bible every day. We have our quiet time and we pray. But in our regular, everyday, ordinary life, do we recognize the work of God in our midst? And I'm here to tell you that the whole world is ablaze with God's glory. We just need to stop and look at it. I kind of think of it like this. It's starting to see things differently. I just started wearing glasses again. I had surgery, and my doctor said, "You should wear glasses when you drive." So I started wearing glasses, and it's like the whole world is in HD to me now. And I'm like, this, you know, everyone else is walking around blind. Now, poor me, I'm missing out on all this amazing things that are going on. And even just Recently, our car had broke down, and so my in-laws gave us a 91 Civic hatchback. Does anyone remember a 91 Civic hatchback? And so he told me, oh, well, you can have this 91 Civic hatchback. And I'm like, do those cars still exist? Did they take them off the road? Because I can't remember the last time I saw a 91 Civic hatchback. I get the car, and what do I start to see everywhere? 91 Civic hatchbacks. And I'm like, where did all these? I get one, now everyone wants one. The reality is, they've been there all along. I just never noticed them. Or, and maybe this is a confession, and you guys are like, I never want to be on the roads in Fullerton anymore, but do you ever start your destination to go someplace you always go to? Maybe it's here, or maybe it's your work, or wherever it is, you get in your car, you arrive at your destination, and you're like, wait a second, how did I even get here? Did I run any red lights? Because I can't recall anything that happened from when I stepped in my car to when I arrived. Does anyone resonate with that, or is that just me? Okay, I work with the police department. I'm telling them to watch you all. That's the problem. We're so busy. We're thinking about many other things that we're no longer awake to the activity of God. And that's why Jesus sends his disciples to go do this, to start to see that he is alive and active, and to recognize, and this is important, since Jesus is alive, since Jesus rose from the dead, every place you go, every conversation you have, assume God's already been there. Assume God's already at work. And so then our job becomes, how do we find him? How do we see him? And the more you start to see him, the more you'll start to recognize him in those everyday moments, those conversations with your family members, with your neighbors, the cashier at the store. And so we need to start to be able to see. And I think Jesus gives us a great method for that right here in this Luke 10 passage. He starts with sending them out. Go. Go. And this is really important. We often think that the church is the sending agent for the missionaries. Well, God's the sending agent. And if you don't already know this, your identity is that of a missionary. You are all already sent. You are all here for a unique reason. And so your identity is a sent missionary of God. And so realizing that God's in charge, that it's not our job to build the kingdom. It's God's kingdom to build. The beauty of it is that we get to participate in it. We get to be a part of it. I always kind of liken it to my father. And back in the day, he commuted to L.A. all the time. So the car had to work every week. And so we didn't buy new cars. I don't know when did buying new cars become a normal thing. But we never had a new car growing up. And so it was work every weekend, work on that car so that it could get him to work. And I loved it because I got to go out there with my dad, you know, and his hands are filthy. And so he's asking me to hand him tools, to do this, hold that. And I would rub my arm a little bit more on the dirt so I could be just like my dad. You know, and he's like, how did you get, you know, grease all the way on your shoulder? You know, it was a joy in my life. And then I would go to wash my hands. And, you know, I don't know how this was a healthy idea, but he'd say, wet your arms, and then he'd cup your hands, and he'd pour this giant thing of detergent in there. And he's like, just rub it all over. And it's basically like sandpaper when it's dry. And so it's partially sudsing up, but partially taking first and second layers of skin off of me. But I loved it because I was a part of what my dad did. I got to do what he was a part of. I was learning what he did and how he did it. And that's the beauty of the mission. Come and be a part of what I'm already doing. Get your hands dirty with me. Spend time with me. So if you want to go where to find Jesus, start looking where he's, where you know he's already at. If you want to find a fireman, where do you go? No, you go to Camino Real. I don't know if you've ever been to that Mexican restaurant, but they eat there a lot. Yeah, you go to a fire station. If you want to get your hair cut, do you go to a butcher? No, you go where you know he's at. Where do we know from Scripture, even back in the Old Testament, where is a sure place to find God? Where did Jesus go? This isn't a rhetorical question. What? The temple. He went to the temple. But where? How often do we find him in the temple? What did he always get in trouble for? What? Yes, hanging out with sinners. He was with the poor, the marginalized, the vulnerable, the broken, the needy, the sick. Now, that's not the only place to find God, but I can guarantee you he's there. If you look back in the Old Testament, where did he always go to? Where he heard the cry? Where he heard the brokenness? So if you want to make sure you find Jesus, go to those places. And so that's what I did years ago. I went over to this neighborhood in Fullerton where our church is now, over on the east side off Placentia and Garnett. And a friend, mutual friend, went to college with, started this ministry called Solidarity. And I just started hanging out with him. And then I started helping out a kid with his homework in that neighborhood. And then we started a youth church in that neighborhood. And then from that youth church, we had 14-year-old girls with babies, with fathers who were in prison. And here I am helping with this youth church in this community, and we got to have children's ministry at a youth church? I didn't know that was part of the deal. And then we've got to somehow figure out how do we celebrate as a church this one-year-old birthday party for this child of this 14, now 15-year-old girl. That wasn't any youth ministry job description I had. That's not what I learned in school. But you know what? That's part of the job description in the kingdom of God. That's what sort of God that we're a part of. And then we have our first baptism. And so I'm sitting with the young man he's a boy then, now he's a young man. And I'm asking, so you tell him what happens in the baptism and what's going to take place. And I asked him, so who would you like to perform your baptism for you? And he just looks at me kind of strange, like, what do you mean? I go, well, you know, like I said, we're going to ask you these questions, and then you're going to be put down, and you'll be brought to new life with Jesus. So who would you like to do that? And he still looks at me all confused. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll give him some options. You want Tommy? You want Kevin? You want Bethany? Do you know, who was important, formative in you coming to know Jesus? And he said, well, I thought all of you guys would do it. So six of us get in the spa and baptize them. And that's become the norm. Because why would just one person baptize you? You were all a part of it. And so my eyes start to get awake. This is what God's up to. This is what Jesus is a part of. He's a part of one-year-old birthday parties for a 14-year-old mom who thought of herself as, I am no longer good enough. I have a child. No one's ever going to want to be with me. She's married, has another child on the way, has her own hairstyling business that she named after Solidarity and gives proceeds of her profits to Solidarity. That's what you get to see every day when you're a part of the kingdom of God. When you put on your glasses and start to recognize what he's up to. And it's all around you. And it's easy to find it in those places. And once you learn to find him in those places, you can go to the other places and start to find him there. In verse 2, it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to go into the harvest field. First of all, this says, who's in charge? God's in charge. We're not in charge of what happens out there. We, again, get to be a part of it and get to be a part of what he's already doing. We're about to do our 6-year of Soulful, Summer of Love Fullerton. It's a summer school for our most at-risk elementary schools. So our schools where the families don't have as many resources. They're Title I schools. They often have free breakfast and free lunch provided for them because they don't eat any other time. You guys are a part of giving children hope and filling backpacks for a school that's a Title I school so that on the weekend they have food to eat. That's a Title I school, lack of resources. And so the neighborhoods asked us, hey, no more money for summer school. Can you help us? Sure, we'll get the church to kind of come and help you. And we did it in 3 neighborhoods. The schools wouldn't let us in the neighborhoods at first. The next year, the school said, that's amazing. Can you come and do it on our campus? And the next year, another school asked, can you come and do Soulful there? And then I go to this meeting this past year with all the Title I principals. And so there's about 4 other schools in this district that we're not doing Soulful at. And I tell them about Soulful. After the meeting, they come to me pleading, can you come and do this at our church? And I have to say, the workers are few. Because we don't have people going out who are willing to come and spend 4 hours, one day a week for 4 weeks, to be present to what God's doing in this kid's and these families' lives. So it's out there. It's not just happening in Africa. It's not just happening in India. It's happening here, now, where we're at. And here in verses 3 and 4 is the go again, but then he tells us what? Bring nothing with you. No plan, no anything. Go with one another. And this is the beauty of it, is collaboration. That's why I'm so grateful here to be here now, because I believe we're many different congregations, but one church. And so I'm here celebrating with a part of the family that I don't get to see that often, that I don't get to participate with, but we're still together. But bring nothing with you, no agenda, no plan, no track, and do what? Go to a house and say, peace be on this house. And if that peace is received, then stay there for a little bit and move on to the next one. Is that what it says? No, it says if your peace returns, stay there. Stay right there. And this is really important. Part of seeing God and part of participating in what he's doing is receiving hospitality. Brian said that there's a sandwich named after me at a restaurant. It's a pop-up restaurant. They're not even here anymore. But what happens, what I learned when I was working in Solidarity and through other things, that go out and find a place where you receive hospitality. I'm kind of like a stray dog. You feed me once, I'm coming back and seeing if I can get fed again. And you feed me a second time, I'm sticking around, whether you like it or not. And stick around long enough to listen, to pay attention, to hear what God is doing. And so don't move on to whatever the next thing may be. Stick around for a while. See what God's up to and be a part of it. It's really easy. It's just hospitality. And it's not even really giving hospitality. It's receiving it. So if you can receive something where you go, then do that. and hold that as sacred. Hold that as a gift and see what God is up to. Verse 7, of course, is that important piece, abstain. But then verse 8, he says, heal and announce the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has power. Kingdom of God is the reality of God, what he wants done, being done. This is, Father, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, right? And as we get to start to be a part of that and be a part of what God's doing in someone's life, we get to participate in that healing, in that reconciliation. And we get to hear stories of this girl who has a child who is now a disciple and missionary of God. And the story of the first one we baptized who wanted everyone to baptize him and now is helping out in that same teen center and is running a CERT program and training the teens coming up in some job placement. And that waiting around and being part of healing, I know Elroy just went on a tour of Hoya Scholars in that neighborhood. And that's Hoya Scholars is a group walking alongside of students who've never been to college. So that neighborhood where I'm at, no one had graduated college in over 20 years. No record of anyone graduating college. And this brilliant young girl who didn't think that she could ever go to college. So she comes back. Kevin Doy, who is the pastor over here at Epic, is the one who started Hoya. Because he just helped someone with homework. He just hung around long enough to see what God was up to. And this girl comes back from visiting some colleges and asked her how it was. She said, it was amazing, but I'll never go to a school like that. He said, what do you mean? And so he started Hoya Scholars. That girl graduated Chapman University in 3 years, is now attending law school. And so we're working with high school kids, and then we realized, well, high school kids, we need to work with the parents, so there's a parent academy, and we're like, well, we need to work with junior hires, because they don't have any sort of vision for what college would be like. I'll take kids from the neighborhood over there, and I'll take them downtown to Rialto Cafe for breakfast, and bring them back, and I'll hear them tell people, oh, where'd you guys go to eat? And they'd say, where the white people are. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm not white, no. But it's like they don't know outside their neighborhood. And so we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus when we go to those places. We get to get our hands dirty and work with God. And if you want to learn and experiment and start to understand, because this isn't an addition to your already busy lives. This is what we're invited to do in our everyday, ordinary, walking around life. It doesn't need to be an addition. But it's kind of like training. We need to work that muscle out a little bit. We need to start working out how can we recognize what God is up to. And so going and working in some of these areas and some of these places with people who then are no longer an issue or a problem to be solved, but they're your friend. Your friend who you know and love deeply and are well aware of what God is doing in their lives. And then you can see what God is up to in your neighbor's life. And the who you go to all the time, the restaurant you go to, and the waitress, and the other people you know there. And Brian says, I know a lot of people. I only know a lot of people just on the other side of Harbor on Wilshire, right before the alleyway. That's where I usually see Mark, because he's sitting on the patio at Stadium Tavern. So if you ever want to find Mark at lunchtime, good chance you'll find him there. Is that fair to say, Brian? So that's what I want you to hear this morning, that you can see and know that God is alive and active here in Fullerton. So let me pray for you once again. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the gift of this church and the blessing that they are. May you start to reveal and open their eyes up more and more so that they can grow deeper and closer with you. In your name, amen.